All right, welcome everyone to Ascend Live. Justin Bader here, and excited to have some time set aside to be with you this evening. This is, I believe, episode 39 of Ascend Live. We don't do it every week, we're not going to do it next week, but I thought it would be an excellent time, an excellent opportunity for us to talk about the heartbreak that comes from having your heart set on a certain job that you feel like is going to be a perfect fit and then missing out on that job. You know, it is heartbreaking. It is legitimately painful. I get that. I hear that. And I've heard it from several people in the past week who really thought this was going to be the one. And we are here to talk about that tonight and talk about what to do to move forward. Looks like lots of people are getting signed in here. Let me know where you're watching. If you're watching on Facebook, leave a comment on Facebook. If you're watching on Twitter or Periscope, leave a comment there. I think we're also on YouTube and LinkedIn. So I think I've got a thing that lets me see where people are commenting from. So go ahead and leave a comment and just say I'm here or something, and I'll know who is here, because otherwise I don't know. And really want for this to be interactive. So please hit me with questions. We haven't done one of these since, I think, March. It has been a while, and I'm very excited to talk about the job search, because believe it or not, people are hiring. Districts are hiring. We've had lots of clients get interviews in the past week. I'm just hearing a lot of hiring activity is taking place. Hey, Leslie, thanks very much for being here. Hey, Chris and Wendy tuning in on Facebook. Wonderful. Again, if you're just joining us, please let me know where you're joining us from. We have set aside some extra time to talk about your heartbreaks and the breakthrough that you are about to have in the Ed Leadership job search. About 20% of current principals change jobs every year. That's the reality. So we're talking about a widespread concern when it comes to having your heart set on a current position. And that's not even really counting aspiring administrators, people who want to break in, who want to get their first admin role. And that's not counting central office leaders who maybe are looking to move into a director role or a superintendent role, some sort of senior instructional leadership position. Welcome Pat and Jonathan and Bruce and Dana. Great to see you here. I know lots of you have had interviews lately. And, you know, is it a weird time for hiring? Yes, absolutely, it is. Does summer get to be an even weirder time for hiring? Yes, it is. And in my perfect world, you know, we would start to post, you know, as school districts would get confirmation about whether people were coming back for the following year or not in January, make those decisions, post jobs in February and hire in March. That would be my ideal scenario in terms of staffing every school with a highly qualified principal. But look, that's not how it happens, and certainly this year, that is not how it is going to turn out. So we are here to talk about turning your heartbreak of missing out on a position that you really had your heart set on into a breakthrough. And our essential question for today, and I'm happy to answer other questions, so send me your job search questions there. But our essential question for today is, how can you break through the heartbreak and disappointment that come from not landing a job that you had your heart set on? That is what we are here to talk about today. And let me know, has that happened to you? Maybe you're not even currently looking for a job, but you're just tuning in. I know we have a fair number of people who aren't looking for jobs and they just tune in because they like to keep their head in it. So let me know if that has happened to you. Have you ever had your heart set on a certain job that you just were sure was going to be yours? You thought, you know, just the stars had aligned, or, you know, God had promised you this position. Everything just looked so perfect. It just felt right. And then nothing, right? It just did not go your way. Has that happened to you? Leave a comment. Give me a yes in the comments if that has ever happened to you. And if it has, I want you to know that you are not alone. And really, it's not about you, right? It is not about you. And first of all, let's talk about the first part here. I don't have the first part of this on the slide here, but let's talk about the you are not alone part. For every job that gets posted and filled, how many people lose? How many people don't win that competition for that one position? Well, all of them except the one person, right? So if you're applying for a job in a competitive area, there are lots of other people applying, there might be 50 or 100 other applicants, and only one of them is going to get the job, right? So it's normal to not get the job, and it's normal for lots of people to set their heart on the very same job. So if we were to design a universe in which there was no disappointment in the hiring process, here's what that would have to look like. It would have to look like one job gets posted, one person applies, and somehow, by some magic, that person is the perfect fit and they get the job and no one's disappointed, no one has to apply for job after job after job. What's wrong with that hypothetical scenario? Well, we can't have that kind of world because this has to be a competitive process where schools have their pick, right? Like you go to a restaurant, you don't want them to just serve one thing, right? Like you want there to be a menu. It's a good thing that schools are able to hire in a competitive way because that means that just not just anybody who, you know, makes a half-hearted effort can become a school leader, right? Like we want there to be some competition around this. I think that's a good thing for the profession. And oh, I looked back here, I've got lots of yeses. Yes, 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 happened to me. Hey, awesome. Congrats on that that interview coming up tomorrow, Chris. That is fantastic. Well, let's go back to this idea then that it is not you. The reason you are not succeeding in the job search process is not you. And this is a really important distinction because a lot of people take it so personally. They think, well, I just don't have what it takes. That's not it at all. Well, the reason you did not get the job, if you did not get the job, is that the hiring team did not have better information about you than they did about the other candidates. And the really great thing about hiring, as opposed to, you know, the rest of life, the really good thing about hiring is you have a lot of control over the information that's available to the hiring team, right? You can practice your interview answers. You can give really good information. You can tell stories in a compelling way. You can write a really good resume and a really good cover letter. You can assemble terrific recommendation letters from authoritative people who can speak authoritatively and compellingly about your qualifications. Like you have a lot of control over the information that the hiring team has about you. So if you have been taking it personally, if you've been thinking, okay, well, I just can't, you know, the world is against me, I just can't succeed at this, or I don't have what it takes, I'm here to tell you, you have some control over what is available, what information is available to the hiring team. And I want to start, we'll circle back to this idea of fit here in just a little bit, but I want to challenge the idea of fit on kind of a fundamental level, because I hear a lot of people talking about fit, and I think there's a direct relationship between this myth about fit, you know, I need to find the job that's the perfect fit for me, and the heartbreak and the discouragement that leads people to give up, right? Think about this one particular job that might be posted. You know, there's a job posted. Let's say five different people think that that is the perfect job for them. It's the perfect fit. So they only apply for that one job. They think, well, you know what? I grew up in this town. This was the best high school when I was a kid. You know, I went to the other high school. I really think this was the better high school. I want to be principal here. This would be the perfect fit for me. Those five people only apply for that one job. They don't apply anywhere else. And they all think it's the perfect fit for them. How many people can get that job? Just one. It might not be any of those five. It might be somebody from a different district entirely. So how many people are going to be disappointed there? Well, all of them. And if they give up at that point because they are discouraged, because they didn't get the job that would be the perfect fit, what a waste of a career. What a waste of a master's degree. What a waste of an admin credential. And what a waste of talent that could have been put to use in a next level instructional leadership role if that myth of fit hadn't resulted in that heartbreak and that discouragement. And I'm not telling you not to be disappointed if you don't get a job. I mean, I think that disappointment is totally legitimate. But here is the thing about the fit myth. Having your heart set on a specific job that you think will just be the perfect fit holds people back for one particular reason. Giving up. If you don't get the job, and you think, well, that was the perfect fit, so that's kind of it for me, I'm kind of done, I'm kind of out of options, then you might give up. And my friends, I do not want you to be in that situation. I do not want to see that happen. But I have to tell you, there are something around a quarter of a million people in the United States who have their admin credential and are not using it. They're, you know, classroom teacher, they're in some other sort of role that doesn't require an admin credential, and maybe they never really intended to use it, I don't know. But a lot of people get their admin credential, get their heart set on one particular job, don't get it, and then think it's destiny or something. And I just don't think that way, but I've realized a lot of people do think that way, so I wanna tackle this head on. If you did not get the job that you thought was the perfect fit, look, this is just the way it works. And the way to think about fit is in terms of staying in a position that you already have or looking for a new position. Fit is not something that you can figure out in advance as kind of a screening criterion before you apply for a job. That's just not how it works. Fit is something that gets determined long term after you get the job. And if you feel like you're in a job that's a bad fit, I know a lot of people who are here today and maybe thinking about moving into a new role, maybe you're looking for a new role because you feel like you're not in a good fit currently. That's where fit comes into play as a should I stay or should I go kind of decision. But if you are too worried about fit in advance, what you are really doing is you are telling yourself, I don't have to apply for any of those jobs over there. I've only got to apply for this one job because it's the perfect fit for me. And if I'm right about that, I get the job, everything is in its right place, the universe is working the way it's supposed to. But that's not how it works. It does not work that way. So we have a little bit of a choice here. Hi, everyone. Hi, Mantakia and Cedric and Chris and Ron. And Cedric, I like that attitude to a point here. I like this. We'll talk more about this in just a little bit. But if I don't get the job, it wasn't the one for me. You know what? I think that's a pretty good attitude to have. Now, could there have been things that you could have done to give the hiring team better information and make yourself a more competitive candidate? Yes, there almost always are things we could have done better. But I think we've got to move on, right? We've got to not stay in that disappointment forever, even while acknowledging that that disappointment is real. Let's talk about filler kind of idea here. I got this question anonymously. By the way, you can go to principalcenter.com/ascendlive. I'm probably not going to look at these tonight, so if you fill one out, I can answer it in the future. But you can ask an anonymous question, and you can put my email address in there if you want to really be anonymous. But this person told me who they were and just said, I want to be anonymous, so we'll honor that here. And it says, having been on multiple interviews and being told that I did everything right, couldn't have done anything better, only to see that they hire an internal candidate or an existing principal, just doesn't feel like a fair process. Why can't they be upfront and not waste everyone's time or just appoint the person they're gonna hire if they've already decided in advance? Don't you think there's a better process than this? All right, I've been doing this for about 5 years where we talk about where, you know, I support people in the Ed Leadership job search. And I have to tell you, this is like the number one question I get year after year after year. Here is what is happening in this person's perception. One person has been handpicked well in advance of the hiring process. That person is already known to the senior leadership team. They're gonna get the job pretty much no matter what. It's a good old boy system. And everybody else who gets called in for the interview is filler. And sometimes you can tell if you're filler if the person right in front of you who interviews right before you is the handpicked person, because the interview team is laughing. And they're saying, okay, we'll see you tomorrow. You know, it's very, very buddy-buddy. And you walk in and everybody's like bored to see you. Like they're like, oh yeah, we got to interview all the rest of the filler people. Okay. Have you ever felt that way? Like this happens. I'm not going to deny at all that this happens. You ever been filler on an interview? I know I have. I've been on quite a few interviews myself. Let me know, leave a comment if you've ever been filler or felt like it at least. So this is a real thing that happens, but we've got to ask ourselves, well, why does this happen? And is it avoidable? And what does it mean? Well, I think we've got a couple different scenarios that we can think about to decide if the filler feeling is inevitable. Yeah, this has happened to lots of people, pretty much everybody, unless you got the very first job you were offered, or very first job you applied for, you've probably been filler. We'll all be filler at some point, probably. But really, here's a way to think about this. There are only three possibilities, right? Either we could have just a Cinderella style, you know, I post a job, one person applies, and Cinderella style, boy, that's the slipper, the glass slipper fits, and that was the perfect person, and we didn't even need to interview a second person. Well, that doesn't really happen, right? That Cinderella fit paradigm, that's not the real world. The filler situation can feel that way, and it really can be that way in a lot of situations. You know, you never really know. Sometimes they have a handpicked candidate in advance, you don't know. But what we do have the opportunity to do, no matter what, is we have the opportunity to try to make it a fair fight. And here's what I mean by that. If you go in pretty sure that you're filler, your job in that interview, when you walk in the door, the other person's walking out, everybody's still laughing, and then as you sit down, they're smiles fade and they realize they're going to have to kind of tough it out and sit through your interview. They don't want to hire you. They wanted to hire the last guy and you're just filler. Well, you, my friend, have the opportunity to make this a fair fight. You have the opportunity to give that preferred internal handpicked candidate a run for their money. You have the opportunity to show the interview team that this is actually going to be tougher than they thought. Because they thought they were just going to kind of perfunctorily interview you. They thought this was just a formality that they had to go through to check a box before they hire their buddy. But you have the opportunity, my friend, to show them that you have what it takes and that they would actually be foolish not to consider you as their top choice. And here's the thing. In fact, the reason we do this show, our focus at the Principal Center is all about instructional leadership. The reason we do this show is because I want more educational administrators to actually be instructional leaders. And often that handpicked candidate is handpicked for reasons other than instructional leadership. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen that happen? Let me know. Leave a comment if you've ever seen someone who is not really going to be an instructional leader get picked for an admin position. And they were picked for reasons completely unrelated to their instructional leadership abilities. Have you seen that happen? Let me know. Have you ever been filler on an interview where you could tell they were picking somebody because of unrelated qualities? And I'll let you use your imagination and your prior experience to fill in what those unrelated qualities are, right? We have the opportunity to blow that competition out of the water by demonstrating and giving the hiring team information about what kind of instructional leader you will be. I'm getting lots of yips, oh yeah, yes, yes sir, of course. Happens all the time, right? And that's where I think we really have not only an opportunity, but an obligation to kind of disrupt the good old boy system that is operating in a lot of places. I think if we're honest, I mean, I live in a pretty rural area, and I have to say, I think a lot of hiring happens for reasons other than instructional leadership abilities. So we'll talk about how to make this a fair fight in just a minute. Before we do that, though, I want to acknowledge that if you have been on the losing end of one of these situations, if you've been filler, if you've been passed over, even though you know you were better qualified for the position, it is okay to be upset about that. It is okay to grieve. It is okay to have been a little bit attached to a particular opportunity, especially if you've been in the school. I was talking to someone this past week who has been in the school for years and years and years, loves the school, knows it would have been a tremendous fit, has such great relationships, and just loves the community and loves being a part of that school and would just run with the opportunity to lead that school. It is disappointing, and I don't want to minimize that at all. I don't want to at all deny you the much needed opportunity to grieve that. So please don't hear me as saying you shouldn't be disappointed if you get passed over for a position that you have your heart set on. It is totally okay to grieve and to mourn the loss of that opportunity. Having said that, I would be remiss if I let you stay in that state of grief for too long, and you decide what the appropriate mourning period is. But I'm going to suggest that as soon as you see another position to apply for, that you decide, you know what, I'm going to dust myself off. You know, I had a good cry, and today is a new day, so I'm going to move on. So it is not okay to wallow. The only way you are going to change that situation of not being in the job that you want is by taking action. So let's talk about the specific actions that you can take. And a couple of questions you might want to ask yourself, you know, looking back on an interview that you did not come out the victor from, you know, hiring process that you did not win, ask yourself, okay, well, looking back, what is it that really makes me stand out? Did I do the best job I could have of highlighting the characteristics that really make me stand out? Maybe I was going to talk about some really powerful aspects of my leadership and my character, but the questions threw me off and they didn't really give me the opportunity. They didn't really set me up to talk about those things. And I answered all their questions, but they weren't really about what I think really makes me stand out. Maybe there was an opportunity there. Who is in my corner? Who are my advocates, my recommenders, my mentors who are putting in a good word for me? What do I have from them in the way of recommendation letters, in the way of network, in the way of putting in a good word? And sometimes we forget that this works for us as well. We got to talk about mentors, your network for a second. A lot of times when it feels like there's this kind of good old boy network that has benefited someone else, we forget that that network could benefit you as well. You know, when it benefits us, we call it networking, we call it building good relationships and having a great reputation. And when it benefits someone else, we call it politics, right? We think, oh, it's just district politics, that's why I didn't get the job. Well, like, you can play those same district politics, right? You can build those relationships with decision makers. And if you know that that's how it works in your district, if you know I have to be visible to this particular group of people, well, maybe you need to be on a committee. Maybe you need to be seeking out those relationships so that someone is ready to put in a good word for you at a key moment. And I can distinctly remember when I found myself on a committee that I got myself on purpose that put me in front of a district decision maker. I could name her. She's a superintendent in Washington State now, but she wasn't a superintendent then. But she was in charge of a particular committee that I had volunteered to serve on. And I remember saying something in a meeting, a committee meeting. I had an idea. I don't remember what it was, but I remember the look on her face. I could see the gears turning. I could see her thinking, you know what? This is a guy we need to hang on to. And I would be stunned if the reason that I got my job as a principal at the age of 26 was not directly because of her. I'm pretty sure it was because I was visible to her and we did not work together directly otherwise. Like, if I had not been on that committee, she never would have come across me, would never would have known the first thing about me. And I'm not sure I would have made it into the yes pile when it came time to screen the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of applications that Seattle Public School gets for the principal pool every year. So you've got to get people in your corner. Third, take a look at your application materials. Are they strong enough? Are they putting you in the best possible light and getting you to the top of the stack? And a lot of people think that doesn't really matter, but hey, it does. And we will talk specifically about application materials in just a second here. Fourth, how well do I interview? This is often where I'm helping people, where I'm helping our Ascend Masterclass clients really hone their performance and really practice. And the toughest thing I tell people, you know, my feet to the fire advice is you have got to practice. And this is advice that everybody here gets for free. You have got to practice for an interview. Do not just wait till the night before, look over a few practice questions and think you're good to go. You have got to practice. You have got to put in, I'm gonna say, hundreds of hours of practice. Nobody wants to hear that, but I'm gonna say you need to put in some serious practice into interviewing. And then finally, am I playing to win? Are you playing to hopefully be chosen, or are you playing to win? Right, the Super Bowl or the March Madness that did not happen this year, right? Think about March Madness. You know, but last time we did the show, it was March. Of course, everything has, a lot has happened since then. But March Madness is a tournament, right? It's a bracket. And there are lots of competitors at the beginning, and that bracket kind of whittles its way down to the Final Four and then the championship. And it is not a Cinderella and the glass slipper kind of process, is it? Right? All the candidates don't just kind of, you know, the teams don't just all stand around and wait for somebody to pick them, right? No, they compete to win. And if you do not compete, you do not win. And a lot of people who have this kind of Cinderella mindset don't realize that, their job is to compete. So here are five specific stages where you can compete to win. Number one, know yourself. Discover your leadership superpowers. Figure out what makes you stand out. Number two, recruit your references. Get people in your corner, get people recommending you. Simply the act of asking them to recommend you will make them think about you in a new way and give you get them to give you feedback and get them to give you opportunities. So many good things happen when you start to get that recommendation engine going. Third, craft your application argument. The paperwork is not a formality. It is your single best opportunity to improve your chances. Fourth, train for interview day and get yourself ready for that big opportunity to make a good impression to the interview team. And finally, race to the finish line. If you're not sure where to focus, by the way, if you'd like a copy of this diagram, we have a free self-diagnostic quiz. I realize I was talking to a lot of people and consulting with them. And I realized, you know what? I'm saying the same thing based on the same answers that they give me. I'm giving the same advice. Like, I can make this into some sort of automatic thing where you can kind of self-diagnose your situation. So we built that not too long ago. It took a lot of work to get this to work correctly and give you the right advice, but I'm pretty sure it will. Feel free to take this quiz and forward me the advice that it gives you and let me know if that rings true. But just go to principalcenter.com/ job and answer the questions, and it will tell you exactly where to focus. So a lot of people, they get really discouraged. They're in that morning, and it turns out that they've only applied for one job. And it's like, well, nobody should expect to get one job after applying for one job. Like, it just doesn't work that way. So you've got to be willing to, you know, to take the necessary action at each stage. Yeah, lots of good comments coming in here. Lots and lots of good comments here. Okay, I wanted to get to a question that was submitted. This is Heidi's question. She did not ask to be anonymous. I'm not including her last name. But Heidi is asking a question about the hiring timeline and saying, hey, a lot of schools are maybe facing sort of uncertainty. And I know different states have different budget things that are happening at different times. And there is a lot of uncertainty for schools. Is that a widespread pattern? Not that I have seen. You can let me know if that is happening in your area, but I have to say, I've been doing this, you know, a good 5 years now, and if it doesn't sound much different than it usually does, there is still a lot of hiring, because here's the thing. Even if the budget is going to be cut, are there any principals or any schools next year that are going to be run without a principal? Probably not. There are only like three schools in the United States that don't have a principal, that like have some sort of model where it's teacher led and it's collaborative and all of that. But really, almost every school has a principal, and all of those schools are going to have principals next year. And people are going to leave their positions. Now, what is going to happen is that the timeline is going to be weird. It is going to be very strange, and you're probably already experiencing that. And state by state, you know, the state budget decisions, I know Colorado's got some weird stuff going on. There are going to be delays in the timeline. There are going to be just abnormalities in the process. But look, every school is going to have a principal. Probably 20% of principals are going to move into a new role this year. So I do not expect less turnover or any less turnover than usual. There may be fewer discretionary positions. Like a lot of schools have dean of student positions, and then those kind of get cut some years and they don't exist in other years. So that may vary. But look, every school is going to have a principal. There's no way around that. Good deal. So what does that mean for Heidi? What do we do if that is the situation? Well, if the hiring timeline is pushed back, you've got to use that as an opportunity. You've got to look at that and say, well, I would have already applied for all these jobs if they were posted, and now it's looking like they're going to be posted in July. That means that you have extra time. And I just told you what to do with that extra time. Take the quiz, go back to that Ed Leadership job search quiz, figure out where you need to spend that time, and make yourself a more competitive candidate. You've got a good 2 weeks or more, if nobody's gonna be hiring until July, where you can really, you know, this can be your Rocky montage season, right? Where you can just, you know, train, you can go the distance, you can put in the work to make yourself a more competitive candidate. So I don't know when the positions will be posted for your area. Check every day, keep an eye out, keep an ear to the ground, and then be ready to pounce when those positions get posted. And Jonathan says, I was hired as an assistant principal after the school year started, and it'll probably happen a lot more this year. I think Jonathan's right. Yeah, we're going to see some hiring after the school year begins. We're going to see a lot of situations where you don't get to meet your staff in person before the school year begins. It's just going to be a weird year, but every school is going to have a principal. Say that out loud to yourself. Every school is going to have a principal. And there may be some admin cuts overall, but we know a lot of people are gonna retire. A lot of people are just saying, you know what? I don't need this coronavirus stuff. I've got full retirement. I'm out of here. So I'm not thinking that this is going to be a slower year for admin hiring than average. So when those positions get posted, you gotta pounce. You gotta apply. And I put these numbers up. These are shocking numbers to a lot of people, but every time I put them up, somebody says, yep, I've applied that many times and I got a job. You know, these are realistic numbers, my friends. If you would like to get a job offer, you are going to have to go on at least 5 interviews. That's just the overall math. Now, maybe you'll get lucky. Maybe you'll go on 1 interview and you'll get the offer. If you do, great, then you can disregard everything I say here. But most people, it's going to take about 5 interviews before you get an offer. And it's going to take a lot more than 5 applications to get 5 interviews. And you'll notice there's a 5-to-1 ratio here at every stage. If you want 1 job offer, you got to go on 5 interviews. And if you want 5 interviews, you've got to put in 25 applications on average. Now, if your application is terrible, I've looked at some applications that honestly were terrible. Nobody in their right mind would interview the person that wrote that resume or that cover. I've looked at some stuff that is just so bad that you would have to be an insane person to hire that person to be in charge of children. So spray and pray, sending out more copies of terrible materials is not what I'm talking about here. But I am talking about competing enough times to win. Think about entering a golf tournament. Any golfers in the audience here tonight? Any golfers tuning in? I'm not personally a golfer. I know some people are golfers. We have some golf courses in our community here. But, you know, a funny thing happens with golf tournaments. You know, the more tournaments you enter, probably the better chances you have of winning, especially if you're getting better every time you golf. Right? Like, you're not going to go head to head again. I don't even know who the top golfer is right now, right? But you're not going to walk out of nowhere onto the green and win the tournament, right? You have got to show up consistently. And I could give lots and lots of awkward sports metaphors that I only partially understand because I'm not super into sports, but this is a competition, right? I don't know any other way to say it. This is a competition. If you want two or more offers, if you want to be able to choose the school that's the right fit, you're looking at 50 applications, and not 50 of just exactly the same first draft applications, but good ones that are customized to the position. Jonathan says, I golf once a year, therefore I am no good. I've golfed once also, not just once a year, but once in my life. And yeah, really you have to put in the work if you want to be good. So here's how you get good at applying for jobs. Don't just do it once and then make copies, make digital copies. Every single application you have, and I have some special slides that you might have seen in my email. I have some special slides on this for you today. Every application you put in is a chance to revise specifically your resume and cover letter, and always revise if you have time. Now, if you don't have time, you know, if there's a job, like you have a resume and cover letter ready to go and you see a job get posted tonight and it's due tomorrow and you didn't know about it until right now, well, go ahead and apply. Don't tear yourself up about not being able to revise your application materials, but anytime you have the opportunity, revise your stuff before you apply. Cedric says, I had 5 interviews before landing my current position. Awesome. And I know I put in over 25 applications. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. Good validation there. That is normal, right? So if you fail 80% of the time, that's normal. And the way to get a job is to compete enough times, right? That 80% failure doesn't hold you back, right? You only need to get one offer, and 2 offers is even better. So you can do this. Let's look at 3 competitors here. Now, this was in the email. Hopefully, I enticed you to tune in live with this information in the email here. So I want to share a little bit of a hypothetical here, comparing 3 different candidates who approach their job search, their 50 applications, in 3 different ways. Candidate A decides, well, okay, I'm going to take that seriously. I'm going to apply for 50 jobs, and I'm going to do 4 major drafts. I'm going to completely overhaul my application materials, not just once, not just twice, but 3 times. So I'm not sending in a first draft when I apply for a job. I'm going to send in a 4th draft, and it's going to be really good. It's going to be my best writing. In fact, it's so good, it's perfect, and I'm not going to mess with it anymore, and I'm just going to repeat my applications from here on. Okay? So candidate A makes no further revisions, but they made 4 rounds up front. First draft, second draft, third draft, 4th draft, which is probably more than most people do. So this is going to be a respectable quality application, hopefully. Now, candidate B takes a slightly different approach, also committed to doing 50 applications, but really they're only going to do 2 major drafts. Maybe they're getting started late, or maybe they started applying really early and just haven't had the time to do those major revisions. But every time candidate B applies for a new job, they make a 5% improvement in their application materials. They move maybe 1 sentence, they strengthen a bullet point under their current accomplishments for their current role. They get just a little bit better each time, right? Who do you think is gonna do better here between candidate A and candidate B? But then let's also consider candidate C, because we've got lots of options here, right? You have control over this. Candidate C is also gonna do 50 applications and is also gonna do 4 major drafts like candidate A. And like candidate B, candidate C is also going to do some ongoing revisions. With every new application candidate C puts in, that application is going to get 5% better. All right, does that make sense? We've got 3 different scenarios, 3 different candidates with slightly different approaches. None of them are submitting a first draft. Candidate B starts by submitting second drafts and then works on those a little bit. So let's just, for the sake of argument here, let's say those big revisions up front make the application twice as good. And let's say we have an arbitrary 100-point scale, right? So the first draft is 100 points. The second draft is 200 points of good, right? We're making up an arbitrary scale here. So second draft is 200 points good. Fourth draft is not 400, but 800 points, you know, 100, 200, 400, 800. So that fourth draft is getting really good. But what about those additional small incremental improvements over the course of 50 applications? Well, let's make a little graph here. I spent some time this weekend making a little hypothetical graph here with our arbitrary application points. And you can see over here, let me get my cursor over here. Our first, second, and third drafts never see the light of day, right? Those are not going out into the world except for, who is it? Candidate B, who sends in second drafts, right? But candidates A and C are revising to the fourth draft before they send out any applications. And remember, candidate A and B are not really gonna do a whole, or candidate A is not gonna do a whole lot more after that, right? You see, so A is the blue flat line here, and that person is just repeating the same information over and over and over again for more jobs. And you see, candidate A's prospects don't really get much better here. Candidate B is making incremental revisions, so candidate B's chances are going up over time. But candidate C made both a bigger effort up front and is continuing to revise. So let's look at this in terms of our arbitrary points here. After the first final round of revisions and first round of actual applications, here's where our point totals stand here. All right, candidate A has revised their first draft to go from 100 points of goodness on our arbitrary, are you following me here? Does this mean we've got this kind of arbitrary application quality scale? We've gone from 100 points to 200 points to 400 points to 800 points, and then we flatline. Candidate A flatlines by making no further revisions. So application number one and application number 50 are equal in quality. Candidate B, though, says, you know what? I am going to get a little better upfront, and then I'm gonna keep getting better with every passing application that I send in. Well, candidate B ends up with over 2,500 points, right? We're more than three times as far because of that ongoing work that candidate B is putting in. And candidate C ends up with over 9,000 points because candidate C says, you know what? I'm gonna put in the work up front. The very first application I send out is gonna be a fourth draft, and then I'm gonna keep getting better with every single application I put in. So on our made up scale here, candidate C is more than 10 times as competitive at the paper screening process as candidate A is, and more than three times as competitive as candidate B. So I say all this with these made up graphs, these made up numbers, to encourage you and to implore you to do the work of revising your application and make yourself a more competitive candidate. And maybe that's not the problem that you're facing right now. Maybe you are landing those interviews. Maybe it's actually the interview stage where you're falling flat. And time after time, you know, they say, oh, well, you know, we really liked you. You did great. We just went in another direction. And you think, well, what is it? How can I break through that? How can I stop being a finalist? Like, I don't want to be a finalist anymore. I want to get the actual offer. How can I make sure that this stops happening to me? Number one, I have to say, expect it to happen a certain amount, right? Do not expect to get one interview and one offer. You know, you can expect to go on 5 or 10 interviews before you get an offer. And I know I've heard from people who are on here today who've had 6 interviews lately. And you actually, I know you know who you are, on a 6th finalist interview recently, actually inspired this show tonight to talk about this issue of the heartbreak and the disappointment that comes from having a job that you've got your heart set on and then not getting that offer. So again, to return to our essential question here, how do you break through that heartbreak and disappointment to land a job that's gonna be an excellent fit, even if it's not the job that you most recently had your heart set on? I believe you have got to see this as a competition. Yeah, multiple people are saying that this is me, so even if you didn't tell me that that was your situation in advance, you can take credit for inspiring this show. I'm here to tell you, you have the opportunity to Make it happen. What you've got to do, look at this diagram again. We've got this on our website. Figure out, and if you don't want to figure it out for yourself, I will give you my personalized opinion based on working with dozens and dozens of people one-on-one and hundreds of people in a lighter advisory capacity on the quiz. You know, my advice is baked straight into this quiz about where you need to focus. So if you're telling me I'm not getting interviews, well, let's not worry about your interview skills quite yet. Still practice, but if you're not getting interviews, focus on your application argument. If you're getting interviews and you're just not getting the offer, make sure that you're, you know, applying for enough jobs, getting enough interviews that we really can get some statistics out of this. But you know, we may need to focus on the interview and really coming ready for the interview day, ready to compete, ready to win, and bring your A game to those interviews. So hopefully that is a helpful quiz. Give me a yes if you have taken the quiz. And hey, somebody's joining us on LinkedIn. LinkedIn doesn't tell me who, but let me know if you're joining us on LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter. Give me a quiz. Type in the word quiz if you've already taken this quiz and gotten some results there. And if you do take the quiz, you want to forward me your results, I'd love to see them, and I'd love to know if they ring true or if I totally shocked you with my strange advice on that quiz. Dana's taking it. Good deal. And yes, Lisa, when I say applications, I mean resume and cover letter primarily. However, there are often other things that the districts ask for. I had to answer 5 questions as well. Always save that stuff so that you can revise those answers, reuse them, build on them in other districts. Helen's taken it. Somebody on LinkedIn has taken it. Good deal. Yeah, so definitely mean resume and cover letter there. Let's see. Hey, Carlos, great to see you here. Good deal. So if you are in that moment of heartbreak, again, give yourself permission to grieve. Just do not give yourself permission to stay there forever. And if you have been on the negative end of the kind of networking and the kind of district politics, like if you feel like district politics have kind of screwed you over or cheated you out of a job that you really felt like would have been a good fit, it's okay to be upset by that, because I will tell you that kind of thing does happen. I am not going to deny that it does. But the flip side of that is that you can build those relationships too. Now, you might decide that you are in an area and of a demographic that is just not going to get a fair shake. I mean, let's be honest, that is going to happen in some places. So you may have to decide, you know what, this particular organization is never going to give me a fair shot, so I need to look elsewhere. But you can give yourself permission to both be upset about that and to fight back, to look somewhere else and to compete to win. I'm not saying fight back, in terms of complaining about it, because that probably will not get you anywhere, but of going and finding a job that, where you are going to have a fair shot. So my message to you, as always, is compete to win. Let's see. Hey, Kelly, thanks very much for saying that. Great to see you here. Dana says, yeah, screening questions are what a lot of places are using this year. Screening questions are also a great way that districts can cut down on the number of freaking applications that they have to review. It's kind of smart to do that because, as it gets easier to just copy and paste and submit the same documents electronically, districts are just overwhelmed with people to screen. I've been on the other side of the table screening those applications. And let me tell you, it is tough sometimes to distinguish between similarly qualified people. And as a screener, you have to look at very limited amounts of information. And that's what has determined what is on this particular diagram here. If someone is submitting 10 recommendation letters, and I know some of the people who wrote those recommendation letters, as a screener, I'm saying, oh, wow, Bob recommended this person. That must mean, they're really great. Then I know this person has a network. I know this person has people who are willing to vouch for them. I can read those recommendation letters carefully and figure out, is this a warm recommendation or not? What's really going on here? And if that resume and cover letter are stellar, it makes it much easier for me to put that person in the yes pile. And if those materials are garbage, it makes it much easier for me to put that person in the no pile. And none of that is really about the person. As I said earlier, it is not about you. It is about the information that is available to the hiring team. Jennifer, let me grab those real quick and shoot me an email, Jennifer, and I will send you something even better. Oh, I don't actually have this handy. But if you just go to principalcenter.com/interview, you can download 52 practice interview questions and print those out, handwrite some bullet point notes for yourself and practice those, and practice on video. And in terms of the fourth stage here, train for interview day, if you can speak for 5 minutes about any one of those 52 questions. Well, first of all, it's going to be a lot of practice to get to that point where you can talk for 5 minutes about any one of those 52 questions. You're going to be ready for anything. You're going to have practiced much more than anyone else, and you are going to be much more flexible and comfortable thinking if they ask you something out of left field that you've never thought about before, because you've had 52 questions worth of practice in thinking through different things to share, to present yourself as the best possible candidate. So do that work, my friends. If hiring is pushed back this year, if it's late, if it's later than usual, if you have to come in on the 4th of July for a principal interview, well, hey, then we are in good shape. Anyone who starts tonight making themselves a more competitive candidate, if you choose to be candidate C here, give your application materials a good overhaul and then keep making them better every time you apply, you're going to be one of those 10,000 point candidates and here's the thing, you don't need different experience. Like, none of this is about going and getting another degree or getting 10 more years of experience. This is all stuff that you can change pretty quickly with some work. And that is my message for you. Here is the thing. You can change your odds. You can increase the score, even though the score is a thing we've made up here. You can increase your competitiveness simply by revising and improving the information that you're providing to the interview team apart from the facts, right? Your experience is what it is. You're going to tell the truth on your resume and in your cover letter. You have the degrees that you have. You have the experience that you have. But the way you talk about those facts makes all the difference in the world. And you will hear me give variations on that theme pretty much every time that we do this particular show. So I hope this has been encouraging. Has this been encouraging? Let me know if this has been encouraging in any way to you. If you have felt the heartbreak of missing out on a dream job, please just know there is another dream job out there. You may not know much about it in advance, but you may get that job and discover, you know what? This is my dream job. I thought that other one that where I never really had a fair shot anyway was gonna be my dream job, my perfect fit job. But I discovered instead that it was out there. I just had to go and hunt for it. So hopefully that is helpful. Let me know if that is helpful to you. I want to thank all of my clients for being here. I work with several people who are too. I won't out anybody. If you work with me directly, thanks very much for being here and for putting in that work and for keeping the faith in yourself. Just knowing this is a weird year, knowing maybe personally you have been through some circumstances that have made your search harder than other people, and just know that that I'm here for you. So to my Ascend Masterclass clients, if I can do anything for you, please let me know. And if you are not currently part of the Ascend Masterclass, I was looking at my schedule this week and I'm going on vacation pretty soon. So I will be out of the office for a while. But if you'd like to work on it this week, you're welcome to check out the Ascend Masterclass and learn what it is that we do in that program. So a lot of what I do on an ongoing basis when people aren't revising their materials is just this show. But in the Masterclass, I actually do work very closely with people to give them exactly the support they need at whatever stage they are in. So feel free to check that out. Hey, Brooke, hope you're doing well. Yeah, go get them. If you've got an interview coming up, yeah, go get them, Brooke. Very excited for you. So if you're in that position where you think, I really want to change my odds, I really want to put in that work, but I want to do it with support, feel free to check out the masterclass, and we can do a couple of different things this week. So I'm willing to set aside time for up to two people if you'd like to get going on this. Often what we start with is kind of a superpowers interview for that stage one, discover your leadership superpowers and figure out, are you talking about the things that will really make you stand out? Or are you just saying, well, I have a master's degree and 7 years of experience and that's all, please choose me. If that's the kind of thing that's happening in your interviews, we have a huge opportunity then to really make your experience and your distinctive strengths jump out at the hiring team. So often that's where we start. And then if we decide based on the quiz or based on our discussion that we really need to work on your application materials, we can work on resume and cover letter, get you more interviews. If you're getting the interviews but just not sealing the deal, then we probably should just practice directly on those interview skills. If you have more of a long-term plan, long-term process, we can talk through that as well. But the critical thing that you can do to change your odds is to take action. The reason I use Cinderella pejoratively, the reason I don't really like that Cinderella approach, is that Cinderella doesn't really have to do anything other than sit around and wait for the prince to come, right? And frankly, a lot of people approach the Ed Leadership job search that way. And I don't really like that. I don't really think that really gives you much responsibility, much ownership of your career. And I see a lot of people just sitting around saying, well, I got my master's degree, maybe the phone will ring. It's not gonna work that way, my friends. You have got to go out and compete to win that job. So again, if you are interested in working with me directly, you can go to principalcenter.com/ascend. And I don't have a slide about this, but you might have noticed that I changed the first month's payment for that. So feel free to check that out and see what's included there, and feel free to take advantage of that if you would like some help this coming week. And then, of course, full access to the program. And we also include the Instructional Leadership Association, which is our like $500-something a year program. Every month, you get new resources on instructional leadership every week, in fact. So I see many, many, many of our members here. So feel free to check that out. And let's see, Betsy, congratulations on your first admin job. That is fabulous and good deal. Yeah, lots of encouragement happening here in the comments as well. All right, I also see people tagging other people. If you know someone who needs this, who's really heartbroken right now because they didn't get the job, maybe you even have two friends who were both up for the same job and neither one of them got it. Well, tag them if they need to hear this message that heartbreak does not have to be the end of their aspirations for leading at a new level. Go ahead and tag them. Let them know that that the opportunities are out there. I know a lot of people also, I see some familiar names here. I know a lot of people are just stuck kind of waiting right now. See that as a gift. See that as a blessing if you are not able to apply because nothing's posted right now. Or maybe your district said, you know what, we're just going to wait until after the state budget and then we're going to hire. Guess what? They're still going to hire a principal for every single school. So use this time. See it as a gift. Use this time to practice. If you are in the masterclass, you have the Ascend Leadership Journal. Make good use of that. If you're in the masterclass and you've never printed out the leadership journal, print that out, start filling it out, think through your stories. There are lots of things you can do to get yourself ready and make the most of this time, but do not sit on your hands because when that phone rings, when you do get the interview, you want to be ready. You want to be, let me pull up my graphs again of our three hypothetical candidates. You want to be the person who did the work up front and who did the work over time and who has the trajectory to show for it of just improvement after improvement after improvement. Hey, Carolyn's got an interview coming up. Fabulous. Excellent, excellent. Congratulations again to Betsy. Good deal. All right, lots of encouragement going on. Really great to see. All right, that is what I have for you. Again, we'll leave this up for a couple of days. So if you joined us late, Facebook should save it. Hopefully you can go back to the beginning and watch it again. And if you need to tag somebody so that they can see this and get a little bit of a boost and a little bit of a strategy, I'll put the quiz up again. If you're not sure where to focus right now, if you really need help prioritizing, if you think, oh, I need to do a lot, where do I focus? That is the purpose of the job search quiz. Go to principalcenter.com/job, and that will give you a personalized recommendation. I think we'll probably send you some additional practice resources as well. So hope that's helpful. Go get them. Everyone who has an interview this week, hey, interviews are happening. You've seen it in the comments here. People are getting interviews. So good luck to everyone who has an interview this week. Go get them. If you need the practice interview questions, that's principalcenter.com/interview. That is in the comments if you need a link. And I will see you next time. We're not going to do this next week. I'm going on vacation. But if you want to work with me this coming week, I will be happy to set aside some time to help you personally. If you're part of the Ascend Masterclass, you can learn more about that at principalcenter.com/ascend. If I do have those two spots fill up and I'm just, you know, kind of at my capacity for the week, I'll take that down. But if you see that registration form there, you want to take advantage of it, feel free, and we can work together. So I'll reach out and get right back to you if you sign up, and you can send me your resume, cover letter, anything you want me to look at, and we can set up a practice interview wherever we need to focus this week. And then it's a long-term thing as well. So here for you for the long haul. All right, that is it. Have a wonderful evening, and I will talk to you soon. Tag someone else who needs to see this, and thanks very much for being here. Take care.